Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and started my blog, ClassTechTips.com, in 2012 to help educators find new ideas and great tech-friendly resources. You may be familiar with my books, like Task Before Apps, and whether we've met at a conference or a special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. My goal is to help make EdTech easier for educators through my books, blog, podcast, and membership site, the Easy EdTech Club. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. Quick reminder, we're just 2 months away from when I'll open up the doors to the Easy EdTech Club. That's right. The doors are closed as I'm recording this episode, but will reopen March 25th to March 31st of this year. Anyone on the wait list gets something extra special, so head over to classtechtips.com/club to get on the wait list, or send me a message on Instagram at classtechtips, and I'll get you all the info. This week's podcast is titled, How to Make Collections of Photos for Students to Use. Do your students use photos for projects? Although a simple Google image search might be a tempting way for them to find photos, it's not always the best option. Of course, you might have concerns about whether or not their photo search results will bring up inappropriate images, but in today's episode, I'll talk about the benefits of making collections of photos for students, not just to address this concern, which is valid, but also to make sure students have access to pictures they actually have permission to use, and that are quality over quantity. That comes up in a typical Google image search. I'm going to take you through a few quick ideas for curating images into a collection for students. This way, they can quickly access photos that connect to what they'll need for a project. So if your students are going to make videos where they'll need photos of national landmarks, this strategy will come in handy. Or if your students are going to make a recap of everything they learned from a field trip, this strategy will come in handy too. Now, of course, you can take on the role of collection maker to make collections for students. Or you could team up with a teacher from another class to make a shared collection. Although digital tools make this task way more efficient than in the past, you can also bring students into the role of collection makers too. So although I'll talk today more from a teacher perspective, remember, you can have students take on this same role and create collections as they research a topic and prepare to create a project. This could be collections of photos they share as a whole group, or they share with a partner class too. Why might you make collections of photos for students to use? As I mentioned, creating a collection of photos for students means they go to one spot and find a whole bunch of photos that you've hand-picked for them. Before we talk about how to do this, and I go through some steps to follow and strategies for making it happen, here are a few reasons why this might be useful. First, avoid searching on Google Images. Searching on Google Images or any search engine is an important skill. It just might not be what you want students to spend time doing during a particular project. Second, you want students to use photos they actually have permission to use. This is a big one, and honestly, my biggest reason for sharing this strategy on the podcast. It's also easier than you might think to find photos your students have permission to use and to put them into a collection. We'll come back to this later in the podcast. And third, there are great photos and not so great photos online. This goes for both appropriate and inappropriate photos and high quality and low quality photos. When I say high quality photos, I mean photos with better resolution, composition, just all around better looking. This strategy of making collections of photos for students to use addresses this too. So let's dive into the steps for how to make collections of photos for students, whether your primary reason is to avoid image searches, find students' photos they have permission to use, or just locate better photos, this strategy has you covered. To make collections of photos, you have a few different options. I'm going to start out sharing one that I love with a favorite tool. Then I'll share a strategy using Google Drive and another with Adobe Spark Page. First up, you can create a collection of photos using a website that already has photos to search for. I'll start off by sharing a strategy with Unsplash. Unsplash is a fantastic free website, and to take advantage of this strategy I'll talk about here, you will need to create an account and log in. I'll put a link to Unsplash in the podcast notes, on the show notes for this podcast episode, which you can find at classtechtips.com/podcast. But if you did a Google search for Unsplash or just went to unsplash.com, you would find it there too. Here's how the folks at Unsplash explain their website. Quote, Unsplash was born from the pain we had in finding great usable imagery. And we weren't alone, which is why today, millions of creators from around the world have downloaded over 1 billion Unsplash images to create presentations, artwork, mock-ups, and more. End quote. So essentially, you can log into Unsplash, create a collection, and add photos to that collection. Let's talk through a few examples to put this into perspective. Essentially, you would go to Unsplash's website, unsplash.com, and sign into or create an account. Then you would search for photos you want to put into a collection. So if your students are studying the rainforest and you want them to have rainforest pictures, you could start with a keyword search that is really broad, like rainforest, or really narrow, like toucan. Once you find a picture you like, you can tap on the collection button on the corner of the picture. This lets you start a new collection or add a picture to an existing collection. You could add 10 photos or 100 photos to a collection. It is totally up to you. When you are finished adding photos to your collection, you can share it with students. Of course, if you share it and want to add more photos later, it will automatically update for students. To share the collection you made with students, simply go to your account page. This just means click on the right-hand corner where your photo is, or the gray little headshot if you didn't set up a full account. Then you'll see all of the collections you have made. Click on the collection you want to share and open it up. Then you'll see a share button to get the link to share with students. Once you have the link to the collection, you can share it with students by copying and pasting it into Schoology, Microsoft Teams, Google Classroom, or anywhere you normally share links with them. If you have an online space where you post information about the project they're working on, you might post the link to the collection there too. One thing I really like about Unsplash is that students can use it without logging in. You will want to log in since you'll want to save pictures to a collection and share that collection with students. But students can open up the website without logging in. This means they can easily access the collection you make or do their own keyword search if they want to. One quick note about Unsplash, if you've been following along on my blog for a while or you follow along on Instagram, you know that I post lots of pictures and I usually create unique images that go along with blog posts. Sometimes it's like a laptop or someone typing on a computer, and sometimes they're pictures I've taken or ones that I've gotten from some other resources I use, but Unsplash is one of my favorite ones because they're royalty free and it's a great way to use these in the classroom too, and give students some experience searching for pictures and using that collection of images you've curated for them as well. Another way to make a collection of photos for students to use is to set up a shared folder. You can do this in Google Drive, Box, or Dropbox using your own account. Just like Unsplash, you'll need an account to make this happen, but students won't need one to access your photos. Google Drive, Box, and Dropbox are all free services. You could use them totally for free. Of course, you could upgrade if you need lots and lots of space, but for this activity, you won't need to do that. Shared folders are folders of files that you give permission for someone else to access. You can set the permission so people with the link can download the photos, or you can give students permission to make changes to the folder. I would only suggest using the second option, giving students permission to make changes to the folder, if you want students to upload their own photos. So if you were all on a field trip and kids took their own photos on their own iPad and then you gave them permission to add them to a folder that was shared, that might be an appropriate use case. But this could get tricky with a large group, so you might want to make a copy of your original or master folder in case a student accidentally deletes something. It's an awesome workflow, but it can be a little overwhelming. With the shared folder strategy, the one that I would recommend getting started with, you set up a shared folder using whatever tool you like best, like Google Drive or Dropbox. Then you add photos to the folder, and then you share the link to the folder with students. Students can then download whatever photos they would like to use for their project. Now, you might use this strategy as opposed to the Unsplash strategy for two big reasons. First, you have photos from lots of different places saved to your computer. In this scenario, you might have downloaded permission-free photos from Flickr and Shutterstock and Unsplash and want to combine them all in one place. Or second, you have your own photos from a special event or place. If you took your own photos and want students to use them for the project instead of someone else's photos, this strategy definitely comes in handy. Bottom line, shared folders is your best bet if you have photos saved on your computer you want students to use, or photos from a class science demonstration, field trip, or school day. Next up, I want to make a quick connection to a podcast episode featuring Adobe Spark Page and using it to curate resources. That's episode 10 of the Easy EdTech podcast. And there's a podcast where I talk about making video playlists. That's episode 34 of the Easy EdTech podcast. I'll have these episodes linked in the episode show notes in case you want to check those two out. There's some overlapping to these strategies. And if this today is grabbing your interest, piquing your interest, then you probably want to check out these others that take it in a different direction too. So that's episode 10 and 34. And I'll put links to those in the show notes, which just like all the things I'm talking about today, you can find by going to classtechtips.com/podcast. Now, some of you know I've worked with the folks at Spark and have a book titled 40 Ways to Inject Creativity into Your Classroom with Adobe Spark, written with Ben Forda. So I love the Spark tools and love using Spark Page, the website builder, to keep resources all in one place. With today's strategy of using Unsplash, for example, you might end up creating a couple different collections on rainforest with pictures from subtopics like rainforest plants or rainforest animals. Then you could add the links to a Spark Page website and let students bounce around from one collection to the next. So this kind of combines the big idea of making collections with the curating resources podcast and blog post that I mentioned earlier. So of course, whenever I'm talking about anything, it's usually a pretty customizable experience. So this is the way that those two strategies might overlap. The strategy of making, you know, photo collections and that podcast episode about curating resources, it's all about handpicking the very best for students. Although it's not the focus of today's episode, this strategy of curation goes hand in hand with differentiation too. So let's make this EdTech easy. First, decide on a topic for a photo collection. Then, choose the right strategy for your group using Unsplash or shared folders. Next, add photos to the collection that students can use in a project. And finally, share the collection with students. If you make an awesome collection of photos and want to share it, make sure to tag me at Class Tech Tips if you end up posting it on Facebook or sending it out in a tweet. Quick reminder, we're just 2 months away from when I'll open up the doors to the Easy EdTech Club. That's right, the doors are closed as I'm recording this episode, but will reopen March 25th to March 31st. Anyone on the waitlist gets something extra special. So head over to theclasstechtips.com/club, a special page I put up for us, to get on the waitlist. That's classtechtips.com/club. Or send me a message on Instagram at Class Tech Tips, and I'll get you all the info. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning and hopefully make EdTech a little bit easier. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow at Class Tech Tips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world, so if your organization is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.